Thank God, thank God. Can I just greet you, brethren, this evening, to each and every one of us, and just thank God for the opportunity to meet again on this platform in this fashion. I just want to thank God for, you know, that we have an opportunity to stay connected, even though it's difficult times and we're not able to meet together, as Brother Adrian said, in our churches. God has granted us favor that we can still use technology come together, see each other faces, and still greet each other. And it is a privilege. I'd like to greet you all in that strong and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to greet our pastor, maybe in his absence, his family, the ministry team that's ministering at Harvest Temple Wolverhampton. I'd like to also thank the team for this opportunity, and I count it as a privilege and an honor to just share God's word. And I get excited about God's word. I don't know about you, but, you know, any opportunity to turn the pages of the Bible and just say, thus said the Lord, it is a privilege, and I'll get excited about that. So let's just trust the Lord tonight that he will equip us, he will strengthen us, he will give us a word that will strengthen us for the journey and for the time that we are in, so that we can be salt and light in the earth today, because, you know, they're looking for a vaccine, but hello, we need to be salt and light to minister to people who are afraid, who don't know which way to turn. They don't know what the answer is. And I believe that we've got the answer. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So we're back in the book of Galatians. We're in Galatians chapter 5 tonight. I take it that the last two sessions, people who were connected here would have journeyed with us to chapter 5 of Galatians. There's only 6 verses in the book of Galatians, so I'm hoping that everyone has had time to read chapter 1 through to chapter 5 and even chapter 6. And just to understand that Paul the Apostle is writing to the church at Galatia, and I say writing, but it was a letter maybe, but I want to think that he was, you know, preaching. Even through his writing, he was preaching to these believers, and he was basically saying to them, look, what God has put in you is so valuable, is so important. He hasn't put failure in you. He hasn't put in you anything to quit. So you need to understand what it is that God has placed in you. So we've gone through the chapters, and we see in chapter 3 that Paul is saying, who has bewitched you that you should now be doubting, or you should be thinking, you know, is this what I've heard, the truth? How is it you've fallen so quickly into doubting the message? I'd like to really take time to read chapter 5, all of it, if that's all right with you, because we can't really go to the word without hearing what it is that the writer is saying. So in chapter 5, verse 1, he starts out by saying to them, now he's talking to the church, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, said unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So you see, Paul is talking to them, but he's telling them something. He's saying, I, Paul, he wants them to know that he was the writer, he was the one who's speaking. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. So we're saying this didn't come from God. Verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. That means the list didn't stop there, really, that such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word, and he promised to add his blessing to it. Amen. Amen. So we're reading from Galatians 5, 1 through 12. And the unit theme is the gospel in Galatians. The central truth is we live in love and freedom by Christ's Spirit in us. The focus then is to investigate characteristic of our freedom in Christ and govern our freedom by love for Christ and others. The context is Paul, the apostle, or the apostle Paul, wrote this letter to the Galatians round about AD 52. And then the golden text is Galatians 5:1. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So then our outline is: one, guard your freedom, which is Galatians 5:1 through 12. Two, Free to serve in love, Galatians 5:13-21. And then the third outline is live in the spirit, Galatians 5:22-26. And then I'm just going to free flow here. So we understand that the brethren were predominantly, I would say, Gentiles, believers who were born again. Paul started the church. They were going on with God. But then Satan sent some false teachers in among the brethren. Bible talks about them, false teachers creeping in unaware with false teachings. And they were false teachers, but they also brought false teachings that, yes, you are saved. Yes, you believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, you have faith in Jesus. But you also need to be circumcised. You also need to follow the law, which wasn't what Paul taught them. So now Paul recognized that the brethren were in danger of going back to living under the law, which I believe he must have taught them that you are now free from the law. Christ came to fulfill the law. So Paul is now writing that to them to encourage them to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again. So there was a danger that these brethren was going to go back into bondage, into slavery. And I believe this was hard preaching from Paul. He was preaching really hard to them because he wanted them to, you know, to understand that, look, you're free. You're free in Christ Jesus. Why would you be free and want to go back to live under the law? What is it about the law that you want to go back to? He's now encouraging them to walk in the spirit. We are not under the government of the law anymore. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're in a new kingdom, and therefore the new kingdom is now governed by a new covenant. And last time we saw that the two covenants, there was an illustration given with Sarah and Hagar about the covenant and, you know. Sorry. Did somebody say something there? Okay. So we're living under a new government governed in this kingdom now by Jesus Christ and his principle. We're talking about kingdom principle, not works of the flesh, not the merits, not what we can do to earn salvation. Salvation has been now provided for us through Christ Jesus, and all we have to do is to believe and accept. And the law has been done away with. We're under new government. But something came to me as I was reading this scripture again. From the beginning, Satan wants to deceive God's people. Satan wants God's people to believe that what God said is not so. So in the Garden of Eden, you hear him saying to Eve, has God said? He's very subtle. He will try to get you to doubt what it is the word is saying. And that's what happened here with these brethren. So Paul is reminding them. He's saying to them, basically, look, you need to stand fast. You need to stand as a soldier. You need to stand firm. You need to show that you are anchored in the things that you've been taught, that you've received, that you've lived by. How is it somebody has come in now and now has swayed your opinion? How is it you've allowed someone to hijack your salvation so that you are now doubting whether or not what Jesus did on the cross was enough to purchase your salvation? So he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now, Christ has liberated us, but that liberation is not a license to sin. So even as Christians, as believers now, we don't go out and practice sin. That's not our lifestyle, because we're in a new kingdom. We've been translated from one kingdom into God's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of light. And this new kingdom has new principle and a new covenant, new understanding of how we conduct ourselves. So Paul is writing to them, and he's asking them to look again at what it is they are now believing. And I like what he said in chapter 3 of Galatians. He said, who has bewitched you? Who is it? Do you know who these people are, where they came from? They are very influential people. However, they're not your savior. And then verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So they're teaching circumcision as a way to salvation, but Paul is reminding them that circumcision ain't going to profit you nothing. There's nothing to be gained by being circumcised, not in the eyes of God. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. They couldn't fulfill the law. They couldn't keep all of it. Now, we say 10 commandments, but I believe that there's probably over 700 of these Old Testament laws that's in the Torah, which is the five first book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So over 700 laws. No man is able to keep those. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't even remember all of them. You think you could remember all 700, thus said the Lord, thus? No. So Christ has come in and he's freed us from that bondage. He's freed us. He's liberated. I hope you guys have your script, your pen and paper, so you take down some scriptures, because John chapter 8:32 encourages us. Acts chapter 15 verse 1, Romans 9:31, and then Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. If you read those scriptures, and if you need me to repeat them again for you, I will. You will see that Paul is just backing up what it was that he taught them in the beginning. You are now saved by faith in Christ Jesus. You are now liberated from this keeping of the law, the Ten Commandments, the other 730, I think one writer said it's 734 laws. And I thought about that. I thought, me, my poor brain, to remember all of that, 734 different laws to keep them. But Christ has redeemed us from that. So verse 4 said, Christ has become of no effect unto you whatsoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Paul is using some very strong languages here. He's saying that if you think that you're justified by the law, you're falling from grace. Hello? You're falling from grace because it's by grace. We don't deserve this. This is a free gift from God. God has gifted us. And you see, there's something about the gift. You have to receive the gift. If I give you a gift and you don't receive it, well, you ain't thankful for it. But if you receive it, I would like you to be thankful for this gift. So it's a gift from God. And then verse 5 of Galatians chapter 5 said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. We become right with God. We become right with the Savior. We are in right standing with God by faith, not by works. So we live as new creature. We're not under the law anymore. And so Paul is defending his message that we are justified by faith and not by works. This is not salvation by works. This is salvation by grace. By grace, you are saved through faith. and that not of yourself, but it is a gift from God. And last week we talked about if Abraham had to boast in the law, he had nothing to boast about, because you have to boast in Christ Jesus and not in your works. And I would say, dare say, that even today in our churches, and I'm not just talking about Harvest Temple Church, brethren, so understand me when I say churches. Yeah? Not just Harvest Temple Church or New Testament Church of God or Church of God of Prophecy or Baptist Church, the church as a whole. People believe that their works will mean something in front of God. But there's a scripture that talks about God's going to say to some people, when they're going to say, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out devil in your name? Didn't we do this? Didn't we? He's going to say, depart from me. I know you not, because you are workers of iniquity. So we can't boast about anything. We do what we do in the Lord because we are saved and we love God. And God has called us to a ministry of reconciliation, but not also working to earn salvation. That I think we need to get right. So Paul said, stand fast, therefore, stand firm, hold your ground, defend your territory. You know, when I was thinking about this standing fast, something came to my mind. I'd been to Buckingham Palace a couple of times, and you see the guard standing outside the palace, and it doesn't matter what antics you get up to. You could wave around and do all cartwheels and everything else. They don't move from their spot. They stand firm. They ain't moving. I don't even think they blink an eye. Is it? And Paul is saying, stand fast, hold your ground. Don't allow someone to sway you. It's not about, in our churches today, we think, oh, if I evangelize, if I go to Bible study, if I go to Sunday school, if I do all the preaching, all the teaching, if I'm good to, you know, like Mother Teresa, if I do this, if I read my Bible 5 times a day, that will mean something to God and that will bring me salvation. That will not get you salvation. Because you can do all of that good works. And we hear it today. People said, I don't do anything wrong. I'm a good person. I give to the poor. I help the homeless people. You'll hear these stories all the time. People are putting forth their works. But it's the works of the flesh. It doesn't merit salvation. Salvation comes by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God who came to earth and sacrificed his life. He became our sacrifice on the cross and died in our place. He paid the price for our sin. And so, we trust God with all of our hearts, and we lean not to our own understanding. The Bible said, in all your ways, you should acknowledge him, and then he will direct our path. We have to stand strong in the face of adversity. We have to stand strong in the face of difficult situation. Time is very difficult right now. The time that you and I are living in today, 2020, October 2020, is a very difficult time. We've never experienced anything like this in our generation. It's a very difficult time, but if we have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He will see us through all of this. Verse 7 asks the question, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who is it? You know, people leave church sometimes and they have excuses and they blame, you know, other people for the reason why they're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. And they put this excuse and that excuse. But the question is, when God saves you, he comes and lives inside of you. You are now a child of God. Don't give anyone the opportunity to rob you of your salvation. Not even the devil. Don't let him come in and begin to sow seeds of doubt and unbelief or to let you believe that you can now earn your salvation. If we could earn salvation by our works, and I said it last time, I don't believe Jesus would have to go to the cross and die. There would be no need for him to go to the cross and die because we could do it ourselves. But obviously we cannot do it ourselves. And so God sent his son to die for us. And he says in verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This didn't come from God. God is the one who's called us. God is the one who has placed us in his son, Jesus Christ. It didn't come from him. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, let me just read it for you there. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calleth you unto the grace of Christ, which is not another gospel. Paul is just surprised that the church that he's preached to, that he's sown seed, he's taught them the ways of God. And all of a sudden, they're starting to believe something completely different. Paul is saying you're free, but you're choosing to go back into bondage. And he's pointing out to them that the law cannot save you. Verse 9, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. A little bit of sin here and a little bit of sin there. Somebody coming in and saying, do this, do that. Come on. Before long, you'll be out of God's grace because you're now trying to earn salvation. And let me just say, you know, sometimes in life, you just have to just stand. You can't do anything else. Just stand. Just keep standing on what it is you believe. Even though the circumstance and the situation is coming against us and it doesn't look well, but God has already made us a promise. So we stand on that in spite of how things may feel, our feelings. We have to deny our feelings and begin to walk by faith and not by sight. So verse 10 said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear this judgment, whosoever he be. So Paul is saying basically, the person who is sowing this lie among you, the person who is drawing you away from God, judgment is going to come, whoever that person is. That's what he's saying here. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Who is it who wants to draw you away from the things of God? Who is it that wants you to believe that the law has not been fulfilled in Christ Jesus? Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with it. The Bible said he fulfilled the law. And then what he said to us is, I give you a new commandment that you do what? Love one another. Whereas where we were trying, well, the Israelites were trying to keep the law that they couldn't keep. Jesus came and said, look, that hurdle is too high. You just can't jump over it. You can't keep that commandment. So I'm just going to give you one. 734, you can't manage. Just one. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so I think about that sometimes when the Bible said, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes people find it difficult to love other people because basically they don't love themselves. And that's where the problem is. Because if there's no self-love, how can you then give something to someone that you don't have? I didn't mean to go there, but there you are, brethren. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? He's asking the question. He's saying, look, if I was preaching circumcision, nobody would persecute me. They wouldn't persecute me, but I'm not teaching circumcision. I'm preaching salvation by Christ and Christ alone. Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease. The cross can be an offense to some people. Can be an offense. Verse 12, I would that you were cut off, Verse 12, I would that they were cut off which troubleth you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we've been called to liberty, but that liberty does not give us a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license to live how we feel like living. It doesn't give us a license to do what we want to do. We have no rights when we come to Christ to do what we want to do. We do what thus said the Lord. And then God is saying in his word, look, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only don't use this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't satisfy the flesh. Look, I'm free to do whatever I want to do, but I'm not free to do it because I'm constrained by the love of Jesus Christ. You know, when I hear people say, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, it's scriptural. But are you going to go and do crime? Are you going to lie? Are you going to steal? Are you going to, you know, embezzle money from whoever? No, I'm free to do all things, but I'm not liberty to do all things because I'm constrained by the love of Jesus Christ. I'm constrained by the word of God. I'm now dictated to not by my flesh, but by the Spirit of God. So there's a liberty, but it's not liberty to do as I feel like doing. It's not liberty for you to do as you feel like doing. There's a freedom in Christ. Christ has set us free from the law. He set us free from sin. He set us free from Satan because he's translated us from his kingdom, from Satan's kingdom, and now we're in the kingdom of light, from darkness to light. We're in God's kingdom. We're God's children. We're governed by God's law, not the law of the flesh. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Self-explanatory. If you don't know how to love you, you're going to find it very difficult to love other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the question we ask, or the question Jeanette is asking tonight, how much do you love yourself? Selah moment, yes? How much do you love yourself? And I'm not talking about boasting, and I'm not talking about pride. We have to love ourselves enough to stand fast in this liberty where Christ has made us free. We have to love ourselves enough to not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. We have to love ourselves enough to know that when God said, love your neighbor as yourself, I can love other people freely. And let me show you something. Even if that person don't love you, I'm not loving you because you love me. I'm loving you because God has commanded me to love you. So if you don't love me, that's on you. And you can't stop me from loving you. Can't stop you from loving you. So Jesus said in his word, or the scripture said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the true test as to how much we love ourselves is display in the way we love other people. In the way we love other people. And on the back of that, he said in verse 15, If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. But if you love somebody, you wouldn't bite and devour that person. If you love somebody, you may not agree with the person, but you'll pray for that person. You'll encourage that person. You'll support that person. And sometimes it's not easy. He didn't say it was easy, but he said it's possible. So, verse 15, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here we go now. This is where it gets really interesting. That he's talking about standing fast. He's talking about the fact that we're liberated. He's talking about the fact that we're free in Christ Jesus. And we, you know, we have this liberty, but don't use this liberty to sin. And then Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Was it Paul the Apostle said in chapter 7 of Romans, the things that I want to do, I find myself struggling, I can't do. And the things that I should do, I'm struggling still because I'm not doing what I should do. But then in verse 8 of chapter 8 of Romans, he said, I thank God. So it's the Spirit of God that will help us, that will lead us, that will direct us, that will guide us to live according to the will of God. If we try to live in the flesh, we try to do it by ourselves, we will fail, because this thing called flesh will always want to do something that it shouldn't do. It will always want something that it shouldn't have. So he then said in verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So Paul is clarifying again that we are not under the law, because we are under the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit of Almighty God. See, what happened to us as Christians when we are saved, when we are born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives in us. An individual cannot be born again without the Spirit of God. So we are born of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the one that will lead us to do the things of God. Satan will always want to draw us away from God. If you look at your Bible very carefully, you will see that the first war started in heaven when Satan wanted to do his own thing. Oh, I got cut off then, did I? Yeah, sorry about that.
It's just your video went off.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, so Satan wants us, children of God, to be loyal to him instead of being loyal to God. But the Spirit of God will help us. He said, but if you are led, if you are directed by, if you are guided by, if you are governed by the Spirit of God, then it becomes impossible for you to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's not to say that sometimes you don't trip and fall, but when you do, you're conscious of it. And when a true believer, true child of God sin, they know when they sin, because there's an uneasiness in their spirit. And they will want to make it right with God. And they will run to God in prayer, in asking for forgiveness. So if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. You are not required to live by the law. People say you must live by the Ten Commandments. You must do this. But it's not just 10. There's more than 10. Now, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. And he gives you a long list. Satan and his false teachers forgot about this list when he was encouraging the brethren to sway away from what it was Paul told them. So he said, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft in the church. This is the church talking to the child, Jesus. Witchcraft, hatred, hatred. That's a very strong word, is it not? Hatred. When somebody said, I hate that person, that's a very strong word to use. Even as Christian, would we use that word? I hate an individual. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murders. If these things are showing up in an individual, you have to question whether they are saved. Envying, murderers. Would you want to murder somebody? Sometimes people murder you, not physically, but use their word to just decimate your character. That's murdering. Drunkenness, reveling, and such like. So the list didn't stop there. So there's others that we could add to the list, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul gives us a list of the works of the flesh. A whole long list there of the works of the flesh. And he's saying that the individual who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit, so there's one fruit, not nine, one, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. And all of these, the work of the Spirit, the works of the flesh, if we were to take them one by one to do justice to them, you'd have to take them one by one to explain them. So we don't have time to do this. So I'm hoping that you're taking notes and that you're going to go and do your research and just, you know, look at each individual one of them, because time wouldn't allow us to do it here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what our focus is. The works of the flesh, hey, they're listed there. And some of them are self-explanatory, like idolatry. Why would a Christian want to get involved in idolatry? In witchcraft? Why would, you know, I mean, I hear these things and I have to question a Christian. Witchcraft in the church? Voodoo? You know, juju man, obia, all of those business, I'm thinking, in the church? In the church? Hatred, adultery, fornication, in the church? Now we know what those things mean.
Jen,
if you're a Christian, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you turn around and says, if somebody who's practicing witchcraft, mm-hmm. would you say there is a Christian or not?
No. According to the scripture, the person who would practice witchcraft is of the devil.
Yeah.
That's of the devil. That's not of God. A Christian wouldn't be practicing witchcraft. You're going to another source to find help or support for whatever to hurt somebody else. That's not godly.
Because I understand, because that's coming from a death situation, isn't it? When they conjure up, they listen to dead beings, dead spirits,
mm-hmm.
which is not okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
But you see, Paul is warning the believers against getting involved in these things. He said the works of the flesh are manifested. So when we see the word manifest means to show. So if you see these things happening in an individual lives, you know, the Bible said, there's a saying, by their works you will know them. You'll know people by their works. What is manifested? You know, sometimes you only have to listen to people and you'll know where they're at. So if somebody professed to be a Christian and then they're seeking out witchcraft. They go into people to juju man or voodoo or, you know, somebody else for whatever reason they go. That can't be of the Spirit of God. That's in the kingdom of darkness. They operate in darkness. And people who do those things, can I just say as a sideline, they don't readily tell you they're doing those things. So those things happen in darkness. But the Christian don't have to walk in darkness. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in the light. And as a matter of fact, the Bible said that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. So hatred, that's another one. I see people hating on people all the time. Can I just park up here a little bit? Hating on people all the time. Is it because they envy something that the other person has or the way another person is? I don't know. But hatred should never be a part of a child of God's life. Love is the commandment that God calls us to live by. Love each other. Love by this, the world will know that you are my disciple if you have love one for another. So the world is watching us, how we interact with each other. The world's watching us. And then they'll say something like, it's so them Christian behavior. I don't want to be a part of that. If it's not positive, if it's negative, it's not going to draw somebody to Christ. But when we love each other the way Christ commanded us, that will draw somebody to Christ and say, well, I want some of that. So yes, envying. Lord, why would you envy something somebody else has? If God has blessed somebody with something or a gift or a talent or whatever, pray for your own. He will bless you too. He's the same God. He's not partial. He's not partial. Oh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Somebody said to me last week, you know, I was talking to someone on the phone and they said, gosh, you're so happy. You're so happy. Whatever it is you've got, you need to put it in a bottle and sell it. And I'm like, okay, we can't bottle Jesus and sell him, but I tell you what this is all about. So even that, people in the world who don't know Christ is watching our conduct, how we present ourselves in the world. Are you joyful? Are you peacemaker? Love, joy, peace. Can you suffer long? Can I just pause there? Suffering, long suffering. Who wants to suffer? Who wants to suffer? But it's a mark of being a child of God. Long suffering. He didn't just say suffering, you know, Ashana. He said long suffering.
No.
Jesus, help me, Lord. Long suffering, gentleness. And I have to stop there and make a confession. I'm not the most gentle person you can find, but I have to learn. I'm learning to be. I've not arrived. You see, that's the other thing. We need to be honest with ourselves. We've not arrived, but we're walking and we're on this journey with Christ. And when we're honest with God, he can help us. I'm not the most gentle and meek person you can find. And I'm not going to say if I wasn't a Christian, because I am a Christian. And you see, people will judge and say, okay, well, you can't be a Christian. You needn't think you're going to heaven. Let me just ask you a question. Who are you? Are you God's go-to person? Has God got to ask your permission to put me into heaven? I think not. I think not. And as long as we're in this earth, we will be challenged by certain things in this earth. But we must be honest with ourselves. Lord, I'm struggling right here, but help me, Lord. Amen. Well, somebody said, Lord, help thou my unbelief.
Yes, amen, amen.
Help me. You know, you can't be struggling and dying and don't ask for help. Help is right there, but because you're too proud, you can't ask for it. No, no, no. So I'm not the most gentle person. Put that on record. And I'll tell about myself before anybody else go and talk about me. I can tell you myself. So he said, gentleness, goodness, faith. This is how the child of God walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. We don't see it. We can't touch it. We can't feel it. But we believe it because God has said it. He has made us promises. And those promises are good. You can bank on those promises. Those, you know, better than any check you can get from anywhere. You can bank on it. God is a promise keeper. He will keep his word. So I walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter what's happening around me. It doesn't matter who's coming against me. And you know something? When the devil just, you know, get into somebody, get in their face, and they come up against you, it's not you really they're coming against. It's the God that's in you. It's the God that's in you. From day one, Satan wanted to get back at God. So if he can use somebody who professed to be a child of God to get at another child of God, he's just going. So meekness, temperance. And I love the Bible. I love the word. He said, against such, there is no law. There's no law to stop me from loving you. There's no law to stop me from being joyful. There's no law to stop me from walking in peace. There's no law to stop me from being faithful and walk by faith. There is no law. Against such, there is no law. Thank you, Jesus. No law to stop us from doing these things, even though the devil don't like it. But hey, we're not here to please him anyway. Satan is not our master. We've switched sides. We've been translated. Jesus said, you know, that we're in his hand and no one can snatch us out of his hand. I remember one text the Bible talks about Satan desire to sift you like wheat. Satan is after us, but we have to know God's word and do what the Apostle Paul said. Stand fast in this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affliction thereof and lust. So we've crucified the flesh. We don't walk according to the dictate of the flesh. The scripture said that the flesh and the spirit is contrary one to the other. It's contrary one to the other. So, and they that are Christ, we are Christ, and we have crucified the flesh. If you live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And this is where Paul stops. Well, this is where the writer separated some of the texts and said, if you live in the spirit, let us walk in the spirit. So that's the question. Do you live in the spirit? If you are living in the spirit, you have to walk according to the dictate of the spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. That's a waste of time. Me envying something that somebody else have is not going to get give it to me. It's not going to get me. Me envying somebody else for what it is God has done in their lives, whether it's their ministry, whether it's their favor with other people, whether it's their, you know, good looks or whatever it is. Me envying that individual is not going to get that thing to me. So to me, envying is a fruitless exercise. It's fruitless. Because if I'm jealous of what somebody else has, how is that going to get it to me? What my response should be if somebody else is blessed by God, I should be thanking God. I should be praising God. If somebody ministry is taking off and, you know, God is using them to save souls for his kingdom. If God is using somebody to minister to other people and they're getting born again, I should be rejoicing in that. Not trying to take that person down, not trying to destroy that person's character, not trying to destroy the reputation of the individual. That's the work of Satan. That's not God's work. And for me, for such people, if I see that happening in somebody else's life and they're not willing to listen to good counsel, then my response to that is, look, bye. I love you from a distance, because we can contaminate ourselves by the people that we associate with. That's what was happening here. These people had gone into the church. They crept into the church, and then they're trying to disrupt the church, God's people. They're trying to mess up God's people's head. They're trying to tell them, look, I know you say you are saved. I know you think about Jesus. I know you think it's all the blood of Jesus. But let me tell you something. In order to be really and truly saved, you need to go back to circumcision. And what the scripture basically was saying, look, your fathers in Israel, they couldn't keep the law. So what makes you think you can now keep the law? They couldn't do it. You're trying to put a yoke on the neck of God's people. You're trying to bring God's people back into bondage. You're trying to get the Gentiles to live as the Jews did, but the Jews couldn't fulfill the law anyway. So we've come to verse 26 and we finish there. If anyone has any questions, before we move on? No questions? Wow. Ben, yes, babe.
You mentioned some scriptures earlier on. Can you repeat those again just for, and do that slowly just in case anybody wants to write them down, please?
Okay. So there was John chapter 8 and verse 32. And then Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Romans chapter 9, 31. And Hebrews 12, verse 15.
Thank you.
So let me just conclude by saying that faith worketh by love. And the love of God, the Bible said, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives in you and I who are believers, who are born again of the Spirit of God. He lives in us. And he's called us to minister to the world. So we are ambassadors for Christ in the earth. We're called to reconcile the world back to God. And that's our goal. That's our job here. That's our first priority, is to preach and teach God's word so that the world see and know that there is a Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. So we're called to reconcile the world back to God. Whatever else is happening around us, we can't lose our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, and faith worketh by love. It's hard to love some people, but the Bible said, love your neighbor. He's not your next door neighbor. It's anyone who you meet. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine on you. And I hope that as we listen to God's word and we put it into practice, it will transform our lives and we will be the kind of Christians that the world will envy and wants to know Jesus because of our lifestyle. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, we've been well fed this evening. thank you, Sister Jen, for such a wonderful.
Yeah, God bless.
teaching this evening. You know, as you're speaking, God's just speaking to me and reaffirming some of the things that he's been kind of speaking to me and revealing to me in my walk with him in the past week. And I'm sure that that's the same for others as well. You know, that God, you know, just reaffirms his word as we go through these sessions. He strengthens us in the word and he adds to what he's already put in. And, you know, I just want to thank you for your sacrifice in putting that together and delivering it in such a able manner. So God bless you and keep you and cause your ministry to flourish for his glory. Thank Amen. You.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. So we've come to the yes. end. When's the next session, Ashana? I think Grace is gone. oh, no, she's still here. She's still here.
Oh, she's still there?
Yeah.
The 28th of October is the next session.
28th of October, okay. Mm-hmm. 28th of October, make a note in diaries.
Weeks
whatever down. Means we need to.
Yeah. It's been meeting every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
every 2 weeks.
Yeah, every 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yes.
So, again, we thank God for this evening. We thank him for his servant. Let's round it off in prayer. Let's remember Janetta in our prayers as she goes forward in her life. Pray a blessing over her and that God will continue to pour out his word and his knowledge and his love in her life and in the life of her family and those that are connected to her. And that God will continue to speak to us and lead us until we meet again. So let's pray together as we close. If we, take your mics off mute and let's just hear each other as we pray.
Amen.
Father,
thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are.
We thank you, Lord, for this evening.
Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit.
We thank you, Lord, for the life of the believer. Minister to us tonight, Lord, and I pray that we will use the word that we have heard tonight, Father God, to go forth.
Thank you. We thank you for Sister Janetta.
Oh God,
thank you for your
free
made manifest.
That light and that salt in the earth to minister to those who are lost without you. And I pray, Father God, that you'll continue to use this platform to minister to your people. I thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your Holy Spirit.
We're free not to be deceived by the evil one.
Thank you, Lord. We bless you for this night.
Lord God,
that give
you glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, then. So we've come to the end. I hope you've been blessed. Make sure you tell somebody about it and how blessed you have been. If you have been, so that we have more and more people on the chat. On the call, I think we said from the outset that it's not limited to Harvest Temple. So if you've got friends from other churches that might be interested, feel free to share with them, share the information and the dates. And I guess we'll meet again on the 28th.
Just before you go, I'd just like to pronounce a blessing upon all of us, which is in Jude 20, verse 24 to verse 25. And it says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to prevent you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.